From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listeners, how are you today? With me, Ahmad Faisal. I'm so fine. I also hope that listeners, all of you are fine. And today, you can also do your best, listeners. And listeners, for today's edition, I would like to accompany you 60 minutes ahead. And we also would like to present some programs, started with news and other information, as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with our news, and stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesia still trusted by global companies for investment. House Speaker Puan Maharani urges G20 nations to address food crisis. I'm Rahmawati, now the news in detail. Indonesia is trusted by the world's big companies as an investment destination despite the current global financial crisis. This was pointed out by Indonesian President Joko Widodo in Batang Integrated Industrial Estate, Batang District, Central Java on Monday, as reported by Antara. According to a statement issued by the Chief Executive Officer of Orbia, Samir Bharadwaj, President Joko Widodo then outlined the reasons why Indonesia is still trusted by big global companies. He said global companies' trust in Indonesia is still high due to the economic and political stability in the country. He highlighted that it is not easy to gain trust as an investment destination. Next, we have Indonesian House Speaker Puan Maharani, who has urged G20 member states to take concrete actions to address the food crisis ahead of the 8th G20 Parliamentary Speaker Summit. P20 is a parliamentary forum of G20 countries. The P20 summit is scheduled to take place in Jakarta on October 6 and 7, 2022. P20 is a strategic forum to push G20 member states to address the threat of the food and energy crisis. It was said by House Speaker Puan Maharani in a written statement released in Jakarta on Monday, as quoted by Antara. Climate change is posing a serious global threat next to the COVID-19 pandemic. This was conveyed by Indonesian Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati at the Indonesia Economic Outlook 2023 Forum, which was followed online from Jakarta on Monday, as quoted by Antara. She also observed that when the world is confronted with a great shock, such as COVID-19 pandemic, the government has experienced the global shock, and now climate change will become another shock. She also informed that the government is conceiving a carbon market and carbon tax schemes, as well as the energy transition mechanism, to promote the climate change mitigation agenda. The last national news comes from micro, small, and medium enterprises, or MSMEs, that are supporting economic resilience with their contribution to the gross domestic product, or GDP, reaching 61.07%, or about 8 trillion rupiah in 2021. This was said by Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Airlangga Hartarto in Jakarta on Monday, as quoted by Antara. He noted that MSMEs had a number of business sectors in 2021. He also explained that MSMEs are supporting Indonesia's GDP because the government has taken several measures to encourage their progress. Now we move to the international news. North Korea has fired a suspected intermediate-range ballistic missile over part of northern Japan. As reported by BBC.com, it prompted a warning from the Japanese government for people on the island of Hokkaido to take cover during its flight, and the temporary suspension of some train operations. It is the first North Korean missile launch over Japan since 2017. The UN prohibits North Korea from ballistic and nuclear weapons tests. The Queen of Denmark has apologized after stripping four of her grandchildren of their royal titles, but has not reversed the decision. As reported by BBC.com, Queen Margaret II said she wanted the monarchy in keeping with the times, that her decision had been a long time coming, and that it would future-proof the institution. The initial statement conveyed that initial decision was announced last week to begin next year. The titles of prince and princess they have held up until now will be discontinued. Prince Joachim's descendants will thus have to be addressed as excellencies in the future. We end the news with the National Shippers Group stated on Tuesday that Thailand's exports are expected to rise 8% this year. The top end of previous forecast range of 6% to 8%, helped by increased demand for food amid global food insecurity. As quoted by ChannelNewsAsia.com, Chairman of the Thai National Shippers Council, Chaichan Chareonsuk, in a news conference pointed out, exports which rose 11% in January to August from a year earlier should continue its momentum. Well, listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listener, here is commentary. The title of the commentary for today's edition is Lessons from the Malang Kanjuruhan Stadium Tragedy. Indonesian football has received worldwide attention. Unfortunately, this time not because of achievements, but because of an incident that occurred after the match between Arema Football Club and Persebaya on Saturday 1st October. Even FIFA President Gianni Infantino called the tragedy at the Kanjuruhan Stadium in Malang, East Java, a tragedy beyond reason and a dark day for all involved in football. Chaos between football fans in Indonesia is not a new occurrence. Excessive fanaticism toward their favorite team sometimes makes them act out of bounds. Results that are beyond expectations often make team supporters take anarchic actions. But the tragedy at the Kanjuruhan Stadium in Malang cannot only be imposed on the supporters of the football team. Everyone involved in organizing a football match is responsible for the incident that caused the death of 131 people. It's time for all parties to improve themselves to advance football in Indonesia, not only to improve the performance of athletes and football teams, but also make the match an entertaining spectacle and increase pride in Indonesian football. Hopefully, the Kanjuruhan Stadium incident doesn't leave deep trauma for athletes, referees, and club management or football teams in Indonesia. For supporters, being a lesson, blind fanaticism to anarchic actions will actually harm many parties. The spirit of sportsmanship should not only be owned by those in the middle of the field. High sportsmanship actually must be owned by everyone who is on the sidelines. In a match, there are only lose and win or draw. Accepting the defeat or their favorite club or team by providing support can be a motivation for their favorite athletes to improve their performance. Hopefully, there will be no more riots between football fans anywhere. As President Joko Widodo hoped, the tragedy of the Kanjuruhan Stadium became the last tragedy of football in Indonesia. Sportsmanship, humanity, and a sense of brotherhood of the Indonesian nation must be maintained together. Deep condolences to the victims and their bereaved families. Hopefully, the injured victims will get well soon. Well, listener, that was the commentary read by Ahmad Faisal.
Today in history starts with the event on October 4, 1957, when Soviet Union spacecraft Sputnik 1 was launched from the Baikonur Cosmodrome in the Kazakh Soviet Socialist Republic. Sputnik 1 became the first unmanned space mission and the first artificial satellite to orbit the Earth on October 4, 1957. The launch of Sputnik 1, which was made by the Soviet Union at the peak of the Cold War, shocked the Western world and caused the United States to start a space race with the Soviet Union and a movement to reform science education. Next event of October 4th is about the establishment of North Maluku. North Maluku was officially formed on October 4th, 1999 through the Law of the Republic of Indonesia No. 46/1999 and Law of the Republic of Indonesia No. 6/2003. Before officially becoming a province, North Maluku was a part of the Maluku Province, namely North Maluku Regency and Central Halmahera Regency. At the beginning of its establishment, the province of North Maluku was capitalized in Ternate, located at the foot of Mount Gamalama for 11 years, to be precise until August 4, 2010. After 11 years of transition and infrastructure preparation, the capital of North Maluku province was moved to Sofifi City, located on Halmahera Island, which is the largest island. End today in history with the event on October 4, 2000, when Banten was separated from West Java to be a new province of Indonesia. Banten was formerly a part of the province of West Java, but was separated on October 4, 2000 by the decree of law number 23/2000. The center of government is Serang City. Banten is a connecting road between Java and Sumatra. Banten province, especially the greater Tangerang area, namely Tangerang City, Tangerang Regency and South Tangerang City, is a buffer zone for Jakarta. Economically, the Banten region has many industries and several seaports which have been developed in anticipation of accommodating excess capacity from seaports in Jakarta. Listener, that's today in history.
Hadapi dengan senyuman semua yang terjadi, biar terjadi. Hadapi dengan tenang jiwa semua kan baik-baik saja.
Jangan
Listeners, you are still with us. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, in today's edition, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
The Indonesian Embassy in Beijing, China, has a smart classroom device for Chinese lessons that can facilitate interactive teaching models. As reported by Antara, Indonesian Ambassador to China, Jauhari Oratmangun, explained in Beijing on Friday that the smart classroom is a pilot project between the Indonesian Embassy in Beijing and the Chinese Language Education Center, CLEC, in teaching Mandarin. The launch of the Mandarin Learning Program was carried out at the Indonesian Embassy in Beijing on Thursday. The opening ceremony was also attended by Director General of the Chinese Language Education Center of the Ministry of Education of China, Professor Ma Jianfei. The Chinese Language Education Center plans to establish Mandarin Language and Innovation Centers at 6 universities in Indonesia, namely Gajah Mada University, Pajajaran University, Yogyakarta State University, London School of Public Relations (LSPR), Ciputra University, and Pancasila University. Ambassador Jauhari Oratmangun further said that the presence of the smart classroom at the Indonesian Embassy in Beijing was to get the first experience before the launch at the 6 universities. He thanked the Chinese Language Education Center for its positive contribution to improving the quality of teachers, principals, and lecturers through various trainings at the primary, secondary, and higher education levels. The ambassador hopes that the establishment of the Language and Innovation Center can be realized in Indonesia in 2022. The Chinese Language Education Center will provide assistance with the same tools to 35 universities in Indonesia to foster interest in learning Mandarin and to improve the quality of virtual learning for teachers. The device, which is now placed in the multipurpose hall of the Indonesian Embassy in Beijing, is equipped with a touch screen, thematic board, and audiovisual. Meanwhile, Professor Ma Jianfei hopes that the device can improve the quality of lectures and the management of Chinese language study programs in Indonesia.
Cinta senang.
Listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, we would like to present next segment, Indonesian Wonder. It is about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, the third G20 Sherpa meeting held in Yogyakarta from September 27 to 29, 2022, the agenda followed by officials at the Directorate General level from 20 countries to welcome the 17th G20 High-Level Conference in November 2022, began with a meeting of delegates in Yogyakarta Palace, September 26, 2022. During the meeting, the delegates were greeted with a Beksan Punggawa dance performance after the dinner. Beksan Punggawa is the fifth Beksan Kakung, or Sun Dance, of Sultan Hamengkubuwono X. This dance with the nuances of Panji story was first performed at the Uyon Uyon Hadiluhung performance on September 19, 2022, to commemorate Wiyosan Dalem, or birthday, of Sultan Hamengkubuwono X. Beksan Punggawa illustrates the war between Raden Jaya Wiruta and Kiai Patih Jaya Surangga. The chapter is taken from the Wayang Gedok manuscript of the Serat Kanda manuscript Kalanganan Dalem Beksan Lawung Ringgit, which was written during the time of Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono I from 1755 to 1792. This dance contains three parts, namely the initial part, Maju Gending, the content section, Enjeran or fighting magic before and during the war, as well as the final part, Mundur Gending. There are 10 Beksan Punggawa dancers who are divided into two groups, namely protagonist or Kinantang and antagonist or Bapang. The division of the role of the Kinantang is shown with movements that are calm but still dashing, while the role of the Bapang is shown with energetic movements. Beksan Punggawa, like classical Beksan dances, a new composition created in the last decade, is one of the pinnacles of palace art, which is expected to ignite people's love for high-value local culture. This dance strengthens the charisma of the 10th Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono as the leader and protector of the people of Yogyakarta. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Wish I was here with someone to hold tight. Hello there, I wish it was you. Playing in the rain and wait the rainbow to come and we'll dance. I wonder if you'll always be right here. Hello there, are you doing fine? Thinking about you, would like to spend my life with you. Those eyes that always make me feel like home.
always be something that I'll never have. Every time I have that chance to have a conversation with you, I'm always feeling nervous and I don't know what to do. Hello there, I lost my words. Thinking about you make me feel the clocks are ticking, and I'd always do that before I go to sleep. Whoa, hello you.
Have a nice dream tonight.
Listener, for the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian Language, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian language. And this program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. And here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian, which introduces Indonesian expressions and vocabulary and guides you to converse in Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language. This Mari Berbahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, RRI Foreign Broadcasting Station, and the Language Development Agency, Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is berwisata di Yogyakarta. Berwisata di Yogyakarta, which means traveling in Yogyakarta. Next, you will be listening to a conversation entitled Sekarang Tekan Tombol Hijau. Sekarang Tekan Tombol Hijau, which means now press the green button. This conversation takes place between Dev Singh, a tourist from India, and the Borobudur Temple counter staff. Dev wants to pay for the entrance ticket using his credit card. Then the clerk gives him instruction on how to pay using a credit card at the counter.
Saya sudah memasukkan PIN. Sekarang tekan tombol hijau.
After the conversation, I will give you some vocabulary related to today's material. Sekarang tekan tombol hijau. Sekarang tekan tombol hijau, which means now press the green button. I will say the word slowly twice, and you can repeat after me. Sekarang, sekarang, which means now. Tekan, tekan, which means press. Tombol hijau, which means green button. Sekarang tekan tombol hijau. Sekarang tekan tombol hijau, which means now press the green button. In the conversation, you heard the words sekarang tekan tombol hijau. Sekarang tekan tombol hijau, which means now press the green button. The words sekarang tekan tombol hijau, which means now press the green button, is an imperative expression. To convey instruction, you can use basic verbs, for example, tekan, tekan, which means press. Other examples. Let's listen to examples of giving instruction with imperative expression. Masukkan, masukkan, which means enter. Tutup pintu, which means close the door. Beli tiket di loket, which means buy tickets at the counter. To convey instruction using imperative verbs, in addition to using basic verbs, you can use basic verbs ending with kan or i. For example, masukkan pin Anda. Masukkan pin Anda, which means enter your pin. Or hindari kerumunan. Hindari kerumunan, which means avoid the crowd. Before ending Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian today, for more details, let's listen to the example of a conversation once again.
Saya sudah memasukkan PIN. Sekarang tekan tombol hijau.
That was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian with the topic Berwisata di Yogyakarta. Berwisata di Yogyakarta, which means traveling in Yogyakarta, and a conversation entitled Sekarang Tekan Tombol Hijau. Sekarang Tekan Tombol Hijau, which means now press the green button. Hopefully, this edition will be useful for those of you who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language. We will meet again tomorrow with a different title. Thank you for listening. Sampai berjumpa lagi. Till we meet again.
Kejamnya dunia, tiada lagi keadilan. Untuk apa ku di sini mencerita menangis pilu dan derita.
Listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, next segment, we would like to give you information about music. And for today's edition, we will present traditional music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hi VOI listener, in today's edition of Music Corner, I'm going to present a Malay song entitled Zapin Chogan by Samudera Ensemble. Lyrics of the song were written by Raja Ahmad Helmi. The lyrics call unity under Chogan philosophy unifier. Chogan itself is one of great tools or regalia which belong to kingdoms of Johor, Riau, Lingga, and Pahang, which today includes the archipelago of Riau, Jambi, to Malaysia and Singapore. Chogan functions as a symbol and the royal lands of the time. The shape resembles a betel leaf plate, which is made of 22 karat gold and decorated with 7 rows of rubies. Chogan was inherited until 1913 before its collapse by the Dutch during the Sultanate of Sultan Abdul Rahman Shah. The song Zapin Chogan is on the album titled Sedayung Kepri, which contains 8 songs. This album elevates hasanah of Malay tradition to the millennials. Alright listener, here is the Malay song entitled Zapin Chogan by Samudera Ensemble. Enjoy the song.
Hai tuan-tuan, bagi kami jalan, jaga-jaga kami numpang lalu. Kalaulah salah, lajaknya kaki, minta maaf, kami tak sengaja. Hai tuan-tuan, bagi kami jalan, jaga-jaga kami numpang lalu. Kalaulah salah, lajaknya kaki, minta maaf. Kami tak sengaja. Bersepakat hati kita sepakat, jabatkan tangan bersama, marilah semua menghimpun kata satu, kita bersatu.
Majukan negeri tuan, negeri yang maju, aman dan damai tuan, hidup bersatu. Hendaklah kita menjadi suri dan tauladan,
jadi teraju negeri zaman berzaman.
Majulah negeri tua, negeri yang maju, menjaga negeri tua, negeri Melayu.
Eratkan tangan, bahulah membahu, kuatkan hati mencapai mimpi. Datanglah jodoh jadi pemersatu.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listeners, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. We would like to say thank you very much for your kind attention, listeners, for you to listen to our program for today. And we will give you another interesting information. And stay with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz, and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, and Twitter @VoiIndonesia, email voi@voinews.id.